Welcome to Jesus-Centric Leadership. I'm here with Pastor Josh. I'm Donna. And we have special guest Susie Heskey with us today, talking a little bit about the heart behind the early years. And basically, Susie, this is going to be a history lesson on what you do and don't remember of the early years of peace. How many years have you been here?
So let's see, 41, 42 years since the beginning. So
now, when we talk about the beginning, was it the beginning of our building? Was it the beginning over in Cimarron?
The beginning of the core group that Pastor Hiller called and said, "We're planting a church in East Aurora. I got your name from some people that said you might be interested. We're having an organizational meeting, and I don't remember the date, and we'd like you to come." Mm-hmm. And it was at, I'm pretty sure it was at Wallace's house.
Wow. Yeah,
Daryl and Marie Wallace's house. And I think there were maybe about 12 of us. There are about six families from University Hills Lutheran and about six families from Mount Olive.
Right. U Hills isn't around anymore.
No, it's gone.
So were they maxing out at that point? Is that why he contacted some of you?
They were an older congregation, and we were a younger family, and we started there when Butch and I got married. That was his church that he attended growing up. And we were just looking for a congregation with kids our age, you know, and we had friends that had gone to Hills, like Gregus's and Schellenberger's and students, and they had all moved out to East Aurora. And we're like, and that's how Pastor got our name, Pastor Hiller got our name, was through them. Said, "Well, the Huskies might be interested." And so.
And Butch ended up being the head of the building committee,
yes,
correct?
Yes, he did. Yes, because of his history in construction, yeah.
Wow. Wow. So it was a bold mission, planted in a time where there was nothing here.
No.
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
I think when you looked out towards Tower Road, what was the first thing that you saw?
A field.
Dirt road.
I think Tower was paved, but it was only two lane, you know, one way and one way the other way.
And then when you looked behind us towards St. Michael's.
That was not there.
There was nothing.
Nothing. You could go all the way out to Gun Club. You could go almost to Watson and there was nothing. It was just empty.
So where did you guys find the courage and the vision to step forward with this in the middle of Kansas, I'm going to say?
A lot of prayer. Like I said, we were in the position. God had put us in the position to be looking for somewhere else, you know. And so he and I just prayed about it and talked about it. And when Pastor Hiller called, we didn't say yes right away. You know, we just said, "Well, we're going to talk about it. We're going to pray about it. But we are interested, but, you know, I don't know if we're ready to take that leap of faith, that step to start a church from nothing."
Literally.
Literally, yeah, yeah.
And you guys were going to leave your community at U Hills.
Yes, yeah, which was, like I said, he grew up there, so he had a lot of history there. I didn't because, you know, I married into that church. So we just prayed a lot about it. And then I think God answered us within a matter of days. He was like, "Yes, this is where I want you to go. This is why I had Pastor Hiller give you a call." It was because this is where I want you to go. So we called him back and said, "We're interested." He gave us the information and we were there.
Yeah. What do you believe was the secret sauce that made Peace with Christ thrive and stand out as a church community over the years? Like, what has been that thing that started the day you guys put that shovel in the ground and it's still a part of our fabric?
I think we all had a passion for reaching out to the people in our community. There wasn't much community here, but like I said, we knew there would be. And we've just always had that passion to reach out in love and reach out and spread the gospel to whoever wanted to hear it. And this was where God was saying we were going. And so,
do you believe that's still a part of who we are today?
Yes, I do. I have never seen that waver in the 40-some years that we've been a church. That has always been the core passion of our church, is to reach out to people who don't know God and need God.
Yeah, I've been on this journey with you guys for, I think, 34 years now. Mm-hmm. And as you're talking, I can hear the word seek and save the lost, right? Seek and save the lost. And not by our own means, by any chance.
Yes. And it wasn't so much we actively went out there and sought them to begin with. God brought them. You know, God had a purpose. And he just said, start the church. Don't worry about it. It'll happen. And it did, you know.
Yeah, and I think that's like that. I saw that heart even when I, you know, decided to join here, right? That was 6.5 years ago. You were actually on the call committee, like,
yeah.
I think, you know. And so that's when I got to meet you, Susie. But, like, I saw that a church that wants to reach people with Jesus. And I think, you know, the reality of it is we're not fully there. Like, we still got to grow in that, and we got to keep reaching people, and we got to, but it's hard to, that foundation of that being primary is really hard to build. And so that's one of the big reasons why I came, is I knew that we could get practical about how we're doing it and not have to build that foundation, because it was there.
And I don't think we'll ever be fully there.
No.
Because God doesn't intend us to be.
Yeah.
We'll always be seeking, always be growing,
yeah.
always be
be
taking that next step forward, wherever He leads us.
Yes. Always be trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes God figures it out for us. I've seen that happen.
Yeah.
Over the past 40-some years, we were thinking we should go one direction, and God would say, mm-mm.
Yeah.
Nope.
Well, even
go this way.
Yeah, even our baptism Sunday was like that. Like, we thought we were going to baptize all these kids in our school. Mm-hmm. And we had some kids, but it was mostly adults. And it was like, that was really neat that God kind of provided that, not in the way that we had planned, but in the way that He decided, right? Yep. But that doesn't, like, but things like that don't happen. And that's what I want to commend you guys on, is things like that don't happen if you didn't build it with that foundation and continue to build on that foundation of, we're going to reach people. And I think that we're so blessed because of that today.
So how did you guys create the sense of community, of belonging, in those early days?
So that very first meeting, we knew some of the people, because like I said, some of them were people we knew from University Hills, and some of them we didn't, but everybody was open, everybody was welcoming, and it was in a home, so it was a very intimate, you know, setting, and we just sat down, and we all introduced ourselves and talked and got acquainted, and Pastor Hiller didn't really push the agenda too much. He just kind of let us get to know each other. And then, you know, probably about 20 minutes into that, he kind of brought us around, well, this is why we're here, and this is, he shared his vision of what he felt God was calling him to do, and then kind of asked us to share our thoughts.
My name's Pastor Hiller. I'm going to be in your life for the next 30-plus years.
Yeah. Well, we didn't know that.
I'm going to baptize and bury and marry and all those things in between.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. So.
Wow. All right. So it would have been easy to become an exclusive group. So here you are with these people, and you meet them, and you're praying, and you're building this building in the middle of nowhere, and it would have been easy to be closed off. I think the beauty of the founder generation, which isn't exclusive to just our founders, but it's your generation that really forged ahead, you know, and built the church, and those of the same age. But how did you guys help it to be always bringing people in, always being willing to be gracious? You're in our Discover Dinner group, you and Butch, and you're welcoming newcomers now, people who are interested in the church. I don't think you've ever said no to something.
A few times.
You've always been very generous with your time. Both you and Butch have. But how did you guys do that?
So I think it was just, I can't say it was something we did. I think God just put that desire in our hearts to want to reach out to people. And I think that came from our backgrounds, but we always remained open. It was like, never is anybody going to be excluded. If people want to come to this church, they can come. There's no reason why we would turn someone away. Jesus never did that, you know, so why should we? You know, and that has always been part of what Peace with Christ has been. We've always been an open church and welcoming anybody. We may not always agree with them, you know, but that doesn't mean we don't still love them and God still loves them, you know. So you just have to let God open your heart and keep it open.
Yeah. So what are some of the biggest obstacles you feel that Peace has faced in our past, and how did you see them overcome?
I think the biggest thing was getting a building started. Yeah. We had a place to meet within a matter of weeks. And then that was Cimarron Elementary, and that was great, but it was not a church. Yeah. We made it a church as much as we could, but
My son's church is meeting in a barbecue restaurant right now, so I totally get that.
So I think the biggest hurdle we had to overcome was getting a building built. We did not have to worry about the land because the district had already purchased the land. So they said, this is where it's going to be built. And we were like, we came out and looked at it, and like, we're like, but because Floyd wasn't here, you know.
That's the street
to the south of the church there. It was there, just the two-lane tower road was there. And we're like, okay, this is it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Yeah. And I remember when they first came out and marked out the land area, you know, we're like, okay, so it's from there to there and there to there. And it looked huge because there's nothing on it. But yeah, and then once we put that first shovel in the ground and things started, it just went. And even that didn't take that long. You know, it was like this church was ready to start. God was ready for this church to start. And it did. When God makes up his mind, you don't stop him.
Were there any other obstacles in those years, in, I would say, the past 40?
A few. I mean, it hasn't been an easy journey, but I remember when we finally got a building and we finally started, people finally started really coming, we had to find space to grow. We couldn't build anymore yet because we didn't have the funds to build anymore. And then we started meeting down in the theater down in Seven Hills there, because that's where we had to have our adult and Sunday school classes on Sunday morning, because there just wasn't room here. And so that was a big thing, figuring out that.
And a big commitment. So it doesn't sound far, but you guys are going to Sunday school down there, that's when I joined, and coming back up here for church.
Yeah, or either going to church and then going down there, depending on which service you went to.
Right.
Yeah. And, but, and trying to figure out where we're going to do that. But again, God had a plan for that too. He opened that up and there we went. We did that for, gosh, I can't remember, a year and a half, 2 years before we finally figured out we could build a little bit more.
Yeah. Fear has never, to me, from my vantage point, fear has never been a part of our decision-making process. We've never really made decisions safely, but yet there are two decisions that we made that were made boldly, but not necessarily where we wanted to go. Well, one was and one wasn't. So the first was, to me, when we were going to grow out to where we have the block party on Tower Road. It faces Tower Road. We were going to build a worship center there.
Mm-hmm.
And Pastor Hiller went and took some time to pray and came back the day we were supposed to meet with the architects. I'll let you take the story from there.
And it didn't happen.
He said no.
Yeah. He said, I don't think God wants us to do this yet. And the building committee that was in place at that time, you know, said, you know, we agree with you. Because they were praying too, you know. We should, because you don't do anything in this church or any church without praying and seeking God's will. And they all came to the decision, and it was a pretty unanimous decision. I mean, there were a few people that, you know, I think we need to do it. But eventually it became a unanimous decision. This is obvious. This is not the way God wants us to go.
And then the bottom fell out of the market.
Mm-hmm.
Which would have changed everything if we had built.
Yeah, it was. And that, again, a godsend, you know. God knew what was going to happen. We didn't, but God knew. And he's like, no, this isn't the time. I have had everything timed for this church. I have a plan, and this is not the time for that plan to happen. And we were okay. And as you can see, we still haven't done that because that plan is, I think that plan is not ever going to happen.
It's with my community garden, but we'll talk about that another day. All right. The second one was the beginning of the school. That was not done in fear. That was done with great faith and
again,
trust.
Lots of prayer.
So we didn't have a school.
No, we did not have a school. And our church was a little divided. I would say probably half the church wanted a school. Half the church was like, I don't know if that's, we want to take on that responsibility. And you know, does that, where God really wants to us to go. And so there was, again, a lot of discussion, a lot of prayer, a lot of seeking God's will. And I will even say Pastor Hiller was at first not in favor of having a school. He'd had a bad experience in his home church where the school had not been a blessing to the church, and the church had not been a blessing to the school.
And created some financial hardships.
Yeah. and some problems, and people got upset about it and stuff. But after months, and I would say, and it happened over a period of a year or more, maybe even closer to 2 years, where we struggled with, do we build
wrestled,
a
yeah.
Do we build a school? Do we not build a school? And finally, the decision was made. Yep. This is where God is calling us to move forward and go. And again, it was his timing. He was like, yes, I do want you to do this. And the school has been a blessing to the church, and vice versa, the church has been a blessing to the school.
Yeah, and the cool thing, like, even for me, so, like, I remember, again, I keep going back to interviewing, but I remember interviewing here, and, like, what I wanted to know about the church-school and church-school relationship, because I have some of that baggage in my life, too, bad church and school relationships, and I think it can be debilitating for both, but I think, like, even Pastor Hiller's like knowledge of what it could be, and I think the desire to of people to have a school, but his kind of hesitancy, I think built really good systems around, and I won't get into all that, but built really good systems around how we're going to relate to each other that I think are a blessing to this day. And I'm not sure I would have said yes if some of those systems weren't here. And so I think like even that was that difference of opinion, God used it to do a really good
thing.
And
that's what that year to 2 years took, was working that part out, you know. How are we gonna mesh the two together, and how are they not gonna mesh together?
Yeah. When it was done really well, I think. So even God used that very well.
What God puts His hand to, always goes well.
Well, and Pastor Hiller's openness to change the vision.
Yes.
I mean, he was going hard in a direction of church growth. And now we're going to build a school, which took a lot of his time and energy, too, that he was wanting to build this church. So it's kind of a both and.
Yeah.
It was a blessing and some hard.
Yeah. Yep. And I think the whole church came around to it. I mean, we lost a few people. You always do.
Yeah.
You know, but pretty much the whole church through that process came around to it. And they were like, we are going to grow the church, but we're going to grow the church through a school.
Yeah.
You know, and.
So something that you said, the people that you've done life with that have left, has that been hard over the years? The change, the movement of peace?
It was sad to see some good friends leave, but we also understood why they left, and they did not leave with hard feelings, at least the people I knew that left. They left because peace was not meeting their needs, not where they felt God wanted them to be anymore. They moved on to other places, and I've seen them do amazing things in the places that they've moved on to, and, you know, You can't keep everybody forever. God doesn't want it that way. We don't grow if we don't move forward. And sometimes you have to let people you really love go to do their own thing and find their own place.
How has God stretched and grown you in your faith and as a leader in your years at peace?
So, He's given me some amazing people to walk life with me. Some of them have been at this church, some of them not, but I would say a good majority have been people I have met here at this church, and I have been lifelong friends and will be lifelong friends, you know. And that is just something that I cherish. I will never, ever forget what God has done through those people. And they've walked life with me, and I've walked life with them. And that is the blessing, I think, that Christians have. When they have a community and they have a place where they can feel like, okay, no matter what I say or what I do, these people are going to be there for me. They're going to walk beside me. They're not going to judge me. They're not going to condemn me. They're going to just love me and walk with me. And that's the faith walk you take when you build a community with God.
What do you hope people remember most about the heart and the mission of Peace with Christ during those formative years? And I'm going to piggyback on that. What do you hope the founder's greatest legacy will be?
I think our greatest hope and our greatest legacy is that we are a church that seeks God's will, that we are a church that loves God's people, all God's people, and that we are a church that meets not only the spiritual needs, but the physical needs and the emotional needs of the people that God has given them, you know, in their community, in their homes, in their schools, in their workplaces, wherever they're at.
So Pastor Josh actually really pushed for you to do this. He has said since we started the podcast, we've got to get Susie Husky in here to talk about this.
It's because I like to talk.
But he wanted you to talk about our history. He really sees you kind of as the history keeper in a sense. Why is the history of Peace with Christ so valuable to you? And why do you want it to be so valuable to our leaders that are listening?
Because we are nothing without our history. You know, if we forget our history or we cut our history off, we have no foundation. We have nothing to build on. We have nowhere to build from. So if you forget your history, no matter whether it's your church history or your family history or your nation history, you're in a bad place because you start repeating the bad things that you don't want to do. Yeah, I mean, there's good things and bad things in history, and sometimes we just want to forget about the bad things, but you can't. You have to remember all of it in order to move forward and be productive and be where God wants you to be.
Yeah, and I think the thing that's so refreshing about you, Susie, in that is just that you understand the history and how that culture that was established is so important, but understand that it's not clinging to history, but it's how we move forward. Like, I even think about we retired the cross that you and and Butch built, which, you know, was... I can't have to imagine a hard thing, but I remember you standing up and saying, no, we worship Jesus, not the cross. And it's the cross embodied the culture, but it wasn't the culture. It wasn't the, and I think that was just so refreshing.
Wasn't who we are.
Yeah. It wasn't who we are. And you had just such good words like for that to explain, which I'm sure was hard.
Well, you can't let things come between relationships and people.
Yeah.
And, you know, Butch and I, we talked about it because at first he was very adamant. He didn't want to retire the cross. And I was kind of like, whatever. And then, you know, we talked about it. He and I talked about it. And it's like, you know what? It's just a thing. It's just something we created for the glory of God. But if that thing gets in the way of worshiping God and relating to God and doing what God wants us to do, then the thing needs to go away. It becomes an idol then, not a thing of worship. And we wanted it to continue to be a thing of worship, not an idol. And that's what you have to do with your history too. You can't worship your history. You can't idolize it. You can't forget it though.
Yeah.
You know, it has to still be a part of you. So you have to balance the two.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just love that heart and culture that you bring in that, you know, the foundation we have is, and it's so evident in Peace as I study, as I learn this church more. It was evident when I came to visit. It was, you know, you don't just by accident be a church that cares about the community and has a culture of reaching out to the community. You don't do that by accident. But you guys
have to work hard at that.
You do. And we have to, and we can easily slide into not doing that. But I think, you know, you set such a good foundation for us that's still paying such good dividends. And you're still a part of keeping that as a foundation. Yeah.
Before I go to my last question, I just want to affirm, I love the teaming of you and Butch. From the beginning of Peace, you said you guys prayed together about, are we going to join this together? We just had Cindy and Dean on and recorded a podcast that may come after this one. But they talked about that same teaming, and you guys stood together, and you raised your family together, and that... It's just really cool. It's such a testimony to what God's done.
And making a commitment. I mean, you make a commitment to your spouse. You make a commitment to your family. You make a commitment to your church. Because I can remember, I don't know, even know how long ago it was, when there was some conflict going on. And Kimberly, our oldest, who has moved to Montana, she said, well, why do you guys still go to that church? And I said... Because I love the people there, and because God has a mission for our church, and if we just decide to up and leave, what happens to that mission? And she goes, well, it'll still go on without you. And I said, yes, it will. But I committed to that. And you don't just give up on what you've committed to. You work at it. It's hard sometimes, and sometimes it's difficult. And that's what we've had that discussion with each one of our kids, is that, you know what, whatever you do, commit to it and do it until God tells you, go a different direction.
That's what family does.
Yeah.
And I can affirm that I've had the same conversation with your son, and he says similar things. So, like, he, you know, yeah, definitely, like, you've taught them well.
Thank you. Thank you. No, God has given us the ability to teach them well. Yes,
but you let him use you, Susie, and so you get to have joy in that. You have great kids.
And I do. I do take great joy in that.
If you could give some words to wisdom to Pastor Josh, what would you say? You
can say hang in there.
thank you.
And just know that you have a lot of people here that pray for you and support you. And God will get us through whatever. He has an awesome plan, and he's not going to let it fail. He may change the direction. He may give us some stumbling blocks, but
thank you.
It's his church, and we're just here doing his work.
What would you say to our leaders, our leadership base that listens to this podcast? What do you really want them to take away today?
The same thing. This is God's church. He will make happen here what he wants to happen, and we all just need to love each other through it.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Susie.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, for being willing to come to the table. And thank you for listening today, and we hope you have a great day.